today is taken out of the 8th chapter of the book of Exodus. Last week we left off speaking to you about the plague of the frogs. Now that God took this plague away and all the frogs died, and they gathered them together in great heaps, and the land stank because of the frogs. Now we have God speaking unto Moses again and commanding him to go in to speak unto Pharaoh to let the people go. And if he did not leave the people go, then Moses was commanded to smite the dust of the ground, and the dust of the ground would become lice. And these lice, they would be throughout the whole land of Egypt. And now Moses, at the commandment of God, he struck the ground with the rod, and the dust of the ground became lice. Now these lice were in every place. They were upon the Egyptians, upon the beasts, they were in the houses, and they were even in Pharaoh's house. Now these lice, according to the commentary, they were given for a certain purpose as a scourge amongst mankind, because certain people are kind of lazy and filthy upon themselves. And upon these sort of creatures, even in our land, you will find them that they have lice. Now lice, they do multiply very greatly. The parent female of a lice may see in 6 weeks 5,000 descendants from it. And now these lice, they were a trouble unto the Egyptians, because the Egyptians, they practiced great purity. They didn't like to have vermin upon them. And therefore, they were continually cleansing themselves, and they abhorred anything that was filthy. And now, these magicians, they likewise attempted to make lice, but they could not. With all their craft, with all their wisdom, with all the magic that they had tried before and had been so successful in bringing things out that Moses and Aaron had done, in this they could not. Here, the magic was revealed to be deceit, for they could not bring forth any lice. And now they went to Pharaoh, and they said unto Pharaoh, "This is the finger of God," because they couldn't bring forth lice. It is only God that could bring lice forth from the dust. Now God, in the beginning, he created man out of the dust of the earth. And he has said, "Dust thou art, and to dust thou shalt return." Now, this likewise was an act of God. And now my hearers, the magicians, they said unto Pharaoh, "This is the finger of God." There may be some of my hearers who in their life likewise have experienced something. It may be that you have been afflicted by the hand of God. It may be that one of your loved ones was afflicted. It may be likewise that God brought you down in the hand of providence. He was against you in certain things that you were attempting to do. You thought you would be successful, and this happened and that happened. And then again, it may be that you have seen even God's hand against a family, against sometimes a church, against sometimes even a nation. Very clearly, very distinctly, you have seen that it was the finger, the hand of God, that was stretched out against this family or this church or this nation or this people. It may be that it was you personally. And it may be that somebody came to you just like the magicians did and said, "This is nothing else but the finger of God." My hearers, have you ever had something like that? How did you act under it? What did Pharaoh do? He hardened himself. even with the magicians even telling him that this was the finger of God. My hearers, there may be some amongst you that are listening to me who likewise were born and brought up and never went to church. I don't know if there are any such amongst my hearers. There may be. All your life long you cared not about God, you never prayed to God, you never feared God, you never cared about any of his commandments. But there came a certain time in your life when your eyes went open, when God began to speak in your conscience. He began to witness, and everything began to be wrong to you. You began to do this, you began to do that. You tried to silence that voice within. You went over the top of it. You did so many things to try to smother that voice, but to all no avail. Finally, you had to come to a breaking point. You didn't tell anybody anything, but you couldn't go along anymore with your former companions. You couldn't go along with sin, with the world anymore. What did you begin to do? You began to go alone. You began to pray, began to read the Bible, began to seek a place of worship. Maybe you never was in the house of God before. There you came. And my hearers, it may be that you don't see anything in this. It may be that you can't see the finger of God in this. But others have said, oh, this is the finger of God concerning you. But you desire to have a witness from God yourself. You desire to have God come down in and through the ministry of his word, or in and through the reading of his word, and proclaim in your very heart that he has begun this good work in you. Otherwise, you're not satisfied with what people say to you. There may be some that have experienced something like this, and others have said this is nothing else but the finger of God. But you can't see that it's the finger of God. You cast it aside, probably. You turn back again to the same way that you were going before. Even after all these things that God has done, it has happened. But then God comes again if it's his work. If you're one of his children, he'll not let you go on like that. It'll be very noticeable unto you that his finger is upon you, that his hand is upon you. What a blessing, my hearers, if this takes place in our life. Oh, I would say, if something like this has happened, do not harden your heart like Pharaoh did. Harden not your heart as in the day of provocation, for it will go terribly with you. God will have to come with many judgments and visit you and bring you back again. And now, my hearers, we find that after this, Pharaoh hardened his heart. He cared not about any of these things. And then we find God again commanding Moses to go into him and speak unto him. He was coming down to the river to worship again. And God told Moses to speak unto him that he was going to send swarms of flies upon them if he would not let his people go. And now again, Moses was commanded to stretch out his hand, and flies came upon all the land of Egypt. Now these flies were not just only flies that we have bothering us many times, but according to the commentary, we must understand wasps, beetles, and hornets. For they did destroy very many things in the land of Egypt. But God said that he would make a distinction when he brought this plague upon the Egyptians, and that he would sever that day the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were. And there would be no flies in that land. Now up until this point, it appears that God had brought these plagues likewise upon the Israelites. But here he made a separation, he made a division between the Israelites and the Egyptians. Oh, my hearers, this teaches us something too. It isn't always that God makes a separation or a distinction when he brings his judgments down upon a nation. It has been a proven fact that even God's children have suffered under the judgments of God, just as the Israelites did under these first three plagues, or four plagues. And we have seen it even in our life, even in the native country of Holland, where so many of us have parents that came from when that flood took place. Even the godly were taken away. It was God's judgment upon that country. But now here God made a separation between these Egyptians and the Israelites. This separation, my hearers, was not because the Israelites were any better than the Egyptians. Oh no, they were sinners just the same. But it was God that made the separation. You know, God, he has from all eternity chosen the people in Jesus Christ. And these people, in the course of their lifetime, are separated unto his service. And they are called by the mighty grace of God, and they are given by his grace to leave the world, to forsake every former friend, to be separated from father, from mother, from wife, from children. You know anything about that, my hearers? Has God ever separated you like that? That's what God does. Oh, what a separation he makes. It's felt. And when God does this, my hearers, it's a proof that he has favor and love in store for you. These people are separated in time, and they are separated from the world which is lying in wickedness. They can't go along with it any longer. Has God done that to you? Or you still live in the world? You still enjoy the pleasures of the world? You're still running after the world? Sad sign for you, my hearers. God hasn't separated you then. And now these people that God separates, he separates them many times in their lifetime. There may be some young men who have been in the service of the country, who have been on a battlefield, and they have seen other men fall on their right and on their left hand, and God has separated them. He spared them in that day. It may be that you have been at a time when God came with his judgments upon the earth. He has, in times past, even in my life, brought fearful epidemics. The influenza, the cholera. These have taken multitudes of people away. Even in this very time, we read sometimes of the Asiatic flu. They have so much fear that this might strike in our neighborhood and take so many lives. It has taken place. And it may be that you were spared. You were separated. You didn't have it. It may be likewise that God came into your family, that God struck maybe one of your beloved children, maybe your wife, maybe your husband. They were afflicted. They were brought down by a dreadful disease. But you were spared. God separated you from that. How did that work out with you? Did it lead you to God? Did it cause you to be humble? Did it cause you to seek his face? Did it fill you with wonder and amazement? Or did it do just like by Pharaoh? What did Pharaoh do? He hardened his heart, even where all the people were afflicted with flies, and everything was being stripped by them. And he heard that there were no flies in the land of Goshen. He still hardened his heart. Oh, my hearers, it's an awful thing to harden your heart under the judgments of God. This is what this man Pharaoh did, and this is what so many people do. All God's mercies, if we only have an eye to see them, my hearers, they are around about us every day. Really, they are. But we're so blind that we don't see it. All you have eyes to see, you have reasons to be humbled almost every day of your life, where God makes a separation. So many of our friends, so many of those that we know, are sometimes stricken down immediately, taken away by a heart attack. Some poor creatures are smitten with polio, a dreadful disease. We've had them in our midst that have had that disease. A young man, he still survives. He's here today. It's a wonder that he is here. What maketh you and I to differ? It's God that separated us, and we didn't have these things. How thankful we should be. Are we? Forgetful of God, of all his mercies. Indifferent about it. Careless about it. It has to strike us first, my hearers, and then we realize something of it. And now, my hearers, we find God again coming with another plague upon the land of Egypt. And this plague was upon the cattle. God was going to send a grievous murrain upon the cattle. Now, this murrain is a pestilence, is an epidemic that comes amongst the cattle. And they were warned that they were going to have this, but Pharaoh, he refuses yet to hearken unto Moses, or unto God who was speaking by the mouth of Moses. And now this came down only upon the cattle of the Egyptians. Their cattle began to die right and left. In fact, it says in the Bible that all the cattle of the Egyptians died, but that isn't true, because further on we have another plague of the hail, and then we read that they were told to gather their cattle into their houses and into their barns. So actually, this plague only was upon the cattle that was in the field. All the cattle of the Egyptians that were in the field died. But none of the cattle of the Israelites died. Now, my hearers, there may be some of my hearers who have in their lifetime, and maybe still are, laboring amongst cattle. I never have. But I do know that they have diseases amongst the animals. And it has been the lot sometimes of some person that has went on a farm and had cows, or had sheep, or had horses, or even had chickens. Suddenly an epidemic came upon the animals, and one right after another they began to die. It has made sometimes a farmer that had cows, made him a pauper. He lost everything he had. All his cattle were gone. Sometimes with chickens it happens too. I wonder if any amongst my hearers experienced something like that. I would ask you personally, how did that work with you? Did it harden you? Did you see sometimes your neighbor, maybe? He didn't fear God, he didn't care about God. None of his cattle died, nor yours did. I think that would bring a person in rebellion against God, if I know anything of myself. What a mercy it is that we are brought down before God and be given to confess it was just of God to take our cattle. And what a wonder that he didn't take us, because we deserved it. And now this pestilence, my hearers, it took most of the cattle in the land of Egypt. And this pestilence resembles to me something that each and every one of us likewise have been afflicted with. And we have been born in sin. And this is a disease, a pestilence, that everyone carry about with us. And this is something that cannot be cured by any human being. You know, today, amongst the people that are on farms and that keep cattle, they inoculate the animals against these various diseases that are prevalent. But you know, this was an act of God, and it took the cattle away. And it don't make if you do inoculate your animals, if God is going to take them away, my hearers, no inoculation will spare them. The hand of God is going out against you, and there isn't anything that's going to spare it. So it was with the Egyptians. And so likewise, my hearers, it is with each and every one of us. The hand of God is against us. We are sinners. We have a dreadful disease. And this disease is very contagious. You know, we bring children in the world and they come into the world with the same disease. We mingle with people and it is very contagious to mingle with sinners. We become very much like them. And if you have the fear of God in your soul and God has separated you, then you wish to shun all worldly conversation. You wish to be separated from the wicked that are lying in wickedness. Or you can't go along in this respect. It's a mercy if you can't. It is God that separates sinners in this life from other sinners. He makes a distinction. But now this disease that you and I have is going to take our life. It is in and through sin that death has come into the world. And every one of us must die. But now there is a cure for this disease. God has given that cure, and that is in the blood and in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. If we may be washed and cleansed in that precious blood, then in that great day of accounts, God will separate us and take us to himself to be with him in heaven above. Oh, may you all feel this disease. May you be given to flee yet to Jesus Christ and find a place of refuge before that day comes when you shall die and you will have to appear before God. And now after God had brought this upon the animals, we find that God again is going to bring another plague upon the Egyptians. You will forgive me, my hearers, for not bringing in almost everything that is in these 10 plagues, because my mind cannot comprehend everything that I've read in these chapters. But now we find that God is going to bring something upon the Egyptians themselves. He commands Moses that he should take ashes from the furnace and that he should scatter them in the sky. And these ashes, they would come down upon the Egyptians and they would cause boils with blains breaking out upon their body. You see, in all the other plagues, God worked outwardly with the things that they had. But now God is going to strike the Egyptians themselves. And here Moses takes the ashes according to the commandment of God, scatters them in the sky, and this becomes dust. And wherever this dust fell upon any of the Egyptians, likewise upon the magicians, boils came upon their bodies. By blains, we understand burning blisters. Practically, they were just covered with boils and with blisters. Maybe some of my hearers have had boils in their life. I never had one. But I can see that they're very painful. Just imagine having a number of them on your body. How painful this must have been to the Egyptians. How awful this plague was that God brought upon these people. I was thinking about this plague and the other plagues. And I thought, you know, God speaks so many times to us too as individuals. He speaks outwardly to us. Just as I've been describing to you, sometimes he speaks in providence, sometimes he speaks in your family, sometimes he speaks in whatever you're taking an interest in sometimes. It doesn't go the way it should. And you know, these things, they have a tendency to only harden us. They don't lead us to God. Have you experienced that? God has spoken. He's put his finger upon you in this and in that, but you went over the top of it. But then God came and he visited you personally. Has he done that to any one of my hearers? Has he brought you down in affliction? Has he brought you down that you had to be operated on, that you were in great pain, that you were near to death? How many of my hearers have had something like this? There aren't many that escape the troubles and the trials and the afflictions of life. If you have, be thankful. You know not yet what's in store for you. But this came upon the Egyptians, and this probably came to you personally, individually. And maybe for the first time your eyes went open. You began to see that you had to deal with the God. You began to cry to this God in your affliction, in your pain, in your sorrow. Oh, you prayed that God would spare your life, that he would take the pain away. And you promised, oh, if you do so, I'll live for you. I won't sin anymore, and I'll go along with everything I'm supposed to do. You know, this has a tendency sometimes when a person is brought down near the death's door to bring out so many promises. All my hearers, have you ever done that? Maybe you never were afflicted like that. But there may be a time in your life that you're going to get that. And then God's so good, he hears. God's so good, my hearers, he raises you up. And after you've been raised up again and you're well again, what became of all what you promised? All in the wind, all gone. You know, Pharaoh, he promised too to let the children of Israel go. And he promised to let them go, but they were to sacrifice in the land. Now, I don't know if that's just after this commandment or not, but he promised to let them go so that they could sacrifice in the land. But Moses says, no, we can't sacrifice in the land. He says, because we'll sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians, and they'll stone us. You know, they couldn't sacrifice the things that the Egyptians did, because the Egyptians, they worshipped different gods. And they had animals that they believed were gods, like the calf and the cow. They were sacred animals. And now if the Israelites used them in their sacrifices, why, the Egyptians would stone them. And now they couldn't go along with what Pharaoh said likewise, because God had told them that they should go out into the wilderness, and there they should sacrifice unto him. 3 days' journey. But you see, Pharaoh relented. He would have let them worship in his own land, but where they wanted to go out into the wilderness, then he would not let them go. This teaches us, my hearers, likewise, that if we are to worship God, we're not to worship him with the wicked. We're not to worship him in the world, but we are to separate ourselves. We are to go alone, and we are to unitedly worship him as he has demanded of us in his word and in his testimony. And now these plagues that God brought down upon the land of Egypt were awful things. Practically, they were to the destruction almost of the land of Egypt, but they were with a purpose. Every time God was going to bring a plague, he warned Pharaoh. He spake to him first. But after him receiving the warning, he still went over the top of it. And that made Pharaoh that much more guiltier in the sight of God. And now God, after bringing forth this plague of boils and blains upon the people, he again is going to bring another plague upon them. And he speaks unto Moses to tell them that he was going to bring a storm of hail upon the land of Egypt. And this hail would be like it never was before. And they never had any hail like this, and never would have any after it. And now those of Pharaoh's servants who had cattle and who had also men working and taking care of them yet, whatever was left, they warned their servants. For those servants that regarded the word of God, they warned their help to bring the cattle in from the field, and they themselves likewise to get into the house, because God was going to bring a storm of hail upon the land. And now likewise, those that did not regard the word of God, they left their servants on the field and they left their cattle on the field. And now God brought a storm of hail down upon the land of Egypt. Hailstones they never seen before, such big hailstones. The cattle that remained on the field, they began to run, and finally they fell down dead. The servants that were taking care of them, they tried to escape, and they died likewise under this terrible storm of hail. Not only was there hail, but there was thunder and lightning accompanying it. And this lightning and this thunder made many fires. And many of the Egyptians were destroyed in this storm that God brought down upon them. But there was no hail, no storm, no lightning in Goshen where the Israelites dwelt. God made a distinction between the Egyptians and the Israelites. What an awful storm this must have been for these Egyptians. Truly, Pharaoh called Moses in haste, and he desired that they would go.